Good morning. I may not have this surname right, but Horatio Spafford. I just felt that I needed to give a little testimony about this gentleman who lived in America some years back. He had a wife, a son, three daughters. He lost his son to an illness. He sent his wife and his three daughters back to England because there was a great man of God delivering a message, and he wanted them to be encouraged and inspired after losing his son. He gets a telegram from his wife saying something like, "I am alone." His three daughters are actually lost in sea due to a catastrophic accident. Another ship ran into their ship and only the mother survived. So he got on another ship to go and be with his wife and encourage her in mourning. And as he got to the spot where he believed his daughters lost their lives, he was looking at the waves, and these are some of the words that he delivered up. "It is well with my soul." Sometimes we really don't understand what happens in our lives. We cannot comprehend the disasters that seem to roll across us. And yet, he got to that place and he had peace with his God. He had peace with his Creator because he was able to say, "It is well with my soul." I think that's just a little encouragement. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on. As Anita said, sometimes we want the answers now. But we trust in a God who has everything in control. Amen? Right. So we're imitators of God. That's the heading. I'm actually going to, after the songs we were singing, I'm going to say, imitators of God, our Father. Could we turn to Ephesians 5? What does it mean to be an imitator of God? In chapter 5 of Ephesians, verses 1 through to 2, it says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Now, I want to jump to another bit of scripture to hopefully unpack what it means to be an imitator. Imitator of God. So could we turn to John chapter 8? There's a couple of statements I want to make first. As men and women, sometimes in our hearts, we find that we make our heart our fortress. It's a place where we store things up. And actually, it's from the heart is how we will respond to the day we face. I want to look at an expression of full communion. And I get this full communion from a song. "I am unfulfilled without full communion." And it's from a song called "Since Your Love." So what does this mean to us? I thought I needed to mention that full communion I got from a song, not from the Bible. But that's what I want us to look at, an expression of full communion. So in chapter 8 from verse 1, "But Jesus went to the Mountain of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, This woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses commanded us to stone such woman. Now what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and live your life. Leave your life of sin." There's an interesting aspect here. I'm going to try and connect the Holy Spirit to Jesus and to God. So if we quickly look at Luke 4 and verses 18 to 19, and we'll come back to the story. The Spirit of the Lord, so this is what Jesus is saying as a scroll has been handed to him. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And there he stops. In Isaiah 61, verse 2, part 2 of 3, says, so we're carrying on from what we've just heard, "and the day of vengeance of our God." But Jesus didn't say that. When he read from the scroll of the prophet, he stopped. And he stopped in full communion with the words, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's part 1 of 3. So back to the lady before Jesus. Now in this moment, when the day of vengeance of our God came face to face with one woman's actions, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, standing behind the parapet of our hearts, they wanted to entrap Jesus. They wanted to pull him down. They wanted to put him in his place. They wanted to bind him, to stop him from what he was doing. But Jesus met that lady in full communion. Leviticus 20:10 tells us this: "If a man commits adultery, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death." The adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. But here we have. Did we hear about the adulterer? No, just the adulteress. See, the people of the time weren't necessarily concerned about righteousness, about grace, about restoration. They just wanted to see this man stopped. They wanted to see him crucified. I want to paint a little picture of Lucifer. Now, just imagine him. He's sitting on a comfortable sofa. He's got the biggest widescreen ever. And he's watching this scene unfold before him. The cameras are on Jesus. waiting to see how he's going to respond. What is it that he's going to do? Because Lucifer's rubbing his hands, thinking, yes, I am going to entrap him. I am going to take away his power, his authority. And yet, in full communion, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, that means he has power, he has might, the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is living in it. His options are vast and many. Or are they? Those who were in that crowd were waiting with bated breath. And it was the words that he spoke that went out like a tsunami around the world in an instant. They toppled Satan off of his sofa, that's for sure. Because what was it that he said? If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. He didn't follow what the letter of the law was demanding. He didn't follow what the Pharisees were expecting. And this is the same moment that we have in those instances when someone's putting the pressure on, when someone is saying, you need to be doing this. What is your response to this? How are you going to handle this? And it's in that moment that we need to know in our hearts that we're in full communion with God. That we're stepping back maybe, seeking the Holy Spirit within us and say, how do I respond to this situation? Because in a moment we can allow, as we've already heard from the floor, we can allow that anger and frustration to overwhelm us. And by God's grace, if that happens, then we're able to pick ourselves up and start again. But what God is looking for in that moment is grace, is mercy, is love, is life. These are the actions that God wants us to be living, to be imitators of God. If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. In sports these days, I guess it's in work as well, wherever it is, you know, man, they say, can have a defining moment, a moment that defines them when they get that gold medal, when they become the head of a corporation. It's a defining moment. When Jesus met that woman, there was a defining moment. It has not defined him. It has a defining moment of who he is. You cannot define who God is. But God gives us definition of what he is, who he is, what he's about. And his expression of love was made complete in one moment when he tore up an old covenant and presented a new covenant. That new covenant was manifested in the resurrection of Jesus Christ after they killed him. We live in a new covenant of grace, of love, of mercy. And Jesus defined it in that moment. Completed, yes, when he arose from the dead, victorious. And he asks us to be imitators of his Father. I found it impressive, actually, that the songs that we were singing, they had the Father in them, they had family in amongst the words, and they had God the Holy Father. I would like the band to come back up, please, because I think I've said all that I needed to say. You know, there is only one way to be an imitator of God, and that's through unity with the Holy Spirit, full communion. When God says, through his word, be an imitator, it's attainable. He doesn't put anything in here that he wants us to read, that he wants us to respond to, if it's not attainable. God's word is very attainable. Let's just flip back to Ephesians 5. There is a proverb that says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. For it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4, 20-23. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Love is the answer. It will always be the answer. Love breaks those chains. Breaks those bonds, breaks whatever it is that brings suppression, that tries to destroy. Respond in love and life will flow. Respond in love and grace and mercy come together through God who gave it all on that cross, and know that the victory will be his. So what does this mean for those who maybe do not know the Lord? If there is anyone here that doesn't know or understand about full communion, then please come forward for prayer. Jesus wants to welcome each and every one of us into his kingdom. He wants us to live a life, to live that life to the fullest. And even when our circumstances are trying to pull a rug from under us, even when the Pharisees of today want to pull a rug from under us, God is asking us to stand firm, to trust in him, and to express his love. To reflect his love, to have full communion with him, because it is attainable. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up your word to you. We give it back to you. And we ask that your word would manifest itself in our lives. That we would see the true revelation of your love for us and how you express it in our lives on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll take it with me. Thank you, band.